2024 has been a very prophetic year, and especially for Jonathan Cahn. Rabbi Jonathan Cahn has made some very profound prophetic messages this year, everything regarding political events to cultural shifts in our nation. And we are going to look back at some of these momentous moments, occasions, and these words that Rabbi has given throughout this year. And with me is Dr. Malachi O'Brien, who was at one of these locations when one of these very profound prophetic words was given. So, Dr. Malachi, it's great to always have you with us.
I'm honored to be a guest with you on this, and it's exciting to have this conversation because of the person that we're highlighting and the words that we're looking back on.
Yeah, we love Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, and actually his book right here, The Dragon's Prophecy, which came out this year, hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list, which is really a testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness. But also, it shows that there is such an interest in the prophetic world around us. And Rabbi is so good at seeing the things that through the lens of the Holy Spirit and what God is highlighting, and then helping us understand what is really going on in our physical world, but what's happening spiritually. What's your takeaways from Rabbi's words?
Well, obviously, I think what you just said is paramount, that it's not just that the people, I think that, yeah, they're prophetic people that have a pure word, because we know there's prophets out for their own gain. But Rabbi Johnson, he brings, I would say, a challenging word every time. Yeah. A challenging word. I mean, I go back to, I mean, when he was at the Washington Mall this year and the prophetic act that happened there, I go back to what happened right before the election. And, you know, it takes prophetic people to hear from God, but it takes us to listen to the prophets, to hear what they're saying, and to test those words carefully against scripture, and then be ready to receive what the Lord does.
Yeah. And one of the big things that he talked about this year was the election of Donald Trump versus Kamala Harris, who originally was going to be Joe Biden. But obviously, we know that Kamala Harris stepped in because Joe Biden dropped out, which is really unprecedented in American history. But Rabbi had some very interesting reactions to this, to what happened. And so I want to play a little bit of a clip that from one of his messages so that we can then comment about this.
The answer is not ultimately an election, but what happens through it. It was 3 months ago in August that I suddenly felt the leading to give a word for Donald Trump. At the same moment, I felt that I got an email from an old friend who rarely writes, who said, "I was in prayer and I received a strong sense that you are to give a word for Donald Trump." And then in October, just about a month, 2 months after, I was invited to attend and be one of the speakers at the inaugural Faith Summit in Atlanta, Georgia, with Donald Trump and faith leaders of America. It happened 1 week before the election. The president was there. We met for the first time. We prayed over him. I gave a prophetic word at the event that I believe is for this hour, for this very moment. When I gave the word, a man who is on the president's faith advisory board and who was in the audience said the Lord told him at that moment, as they announced me, "Get out your phone. What is about to be said, you have to record it." So he took out his phone, recorded it from the audience far back. The next morning, he put it on the web and it went viral.
You, Malachi, are actually the guy that the Holy Spirit said, "Record this, what is about to be said."
"President, I speak of the mystery of your life. You were born on June 14th, 1946. From ages past, it was appointed that on that day, a scripture would be recited throughout the world. The scripture that was appointed for the day of your birth spoke of the bringing of God's vessel, a trumpet, into the world."
But tell me about this specific word and this environment where this word was given.
Yeah, this was the largest gathering of faith leaders prior to the election. There were 3,200 people there in the Atlanta area. And I just remember vividly when they announced Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, I was standing in the back near the green room. One of my responsibilities on that day as part of the National Faith Advisory Board was to get certain leaders to and from the green room area. And as soon as they announced his name, it was like the Holy Spirit said, grab your phone, record now. So I immediately pulled out my phone and just recorded from the corner back of that auditorium. And it was like lightning in a bottle. It was thunderous in that it was, one, it was miraculous that Jonathan Cahn was even there and even able to speak. Like, a week earlier, he was not on the docket to be one of the people speaking. And so for it was unprecedented, the way in which the Lord orchestrated that, for him to speak that word over the president for that moment. And obviously it went viral because it resonated. And it was, he talked about the spirit of Jehu.
God called you to walk according to the template. He called you according to the template of Jehu, the warrior king. He called Jehu to make his nation great again.
And now I've heard several people reference that. And so again, it just is affirmation to me of what the Lord is doing in this hour. One, the word he had, but two, even to get to a place where he gave that word. And side note, John, since that time, Jonathan Cahn and I have become friends since that time, and it's been fun to get to know him and just really believe what the Lord's hand is on him.
Amen. Amen. Well, from this same video that Rabbi put out, I want to play this portion of it, and we'll comment about it as well.
This election is not the end of the story, it's the beginning. But we have to seize the moment. Pray that Donald Trump would fulfill all that he is called to do and fulfill, the calling of his life. It's not about his plans or our plans, it's about God's plans. An enemy tried to take out his life just before this election, and the hand of God spared his life for this election. God will use whom he will use. And God's ways are far above man's ways. And his plans are far above any plan of any man or us. Listen again now, closely, to the last words of his victory speech.
Many people have told me that God spared my life for a reason. And that reason was to save our country and to restore America to greatness.
It was no accident that God saved his life. And God doesn't do anything without a purpose. Trump's life was saved by a fraction of a second, a fraction of an inch, and Trump knows it. Could God be calling him? President Trump is speaking about his being saved, and saved to save America. He's saying what I said in an earlier message here, that in what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, in the saving of his life, could that be the key to the saving of America?
Could that be the key to the saving of America? I think that's a very powerful question. And in one of the other videos that Rabbi did, he actually talked about the blood on the right ear and the blood on the right thumb of Donald Trump. But if you look back in the Old Testament, in the first five books, one of the rabbinical or Levitical laws was that the priest that was supposed to make the sacrifice for the nation had to dip his thumb and his right earlobe and his big toe in blood to make this sacrifice. And like when President Trump was shot, it was hit in the ear and it got on his hands, and then his shoes came off too. And so that was a very interesting correlation prophetically that Rabbi also talked about.
No, I agree. And I heard Pastor Jensen Franklin refer to this too, because I was actually at the Republican National Convention just two or three days after the July 13th assassination attempt. And I think it's profound to think about how different things would be right now had the assassin's bullet. It would have been the most widely watched murder in the history of the world. And yet now, one of the greatest miracles, and I say miracle very clearly, it was a miracle that God spared his life, because I think God does want to spare America and want to make it so clear that his hand is upon Donald Trump. And this ought to be a mandate, and again, I use that word strongly, a mandate for all believers to pray for him, and then for us to kind of do what Donald Trump did. When he got up out of that moment, he just, like, it was almost like just subconsciously put his fist up and yelled, "Fight!" And I think this is time for us to go to battle in the spirit for the soul of America, the soul of our churches, the soul of our families, the soul of our own lives, and say, this is a time. President Trump says for the great American comeback, but I say for the great American spiritual comeback.
Yeah, for sure. And it is a comeback that this country needs to make, but spiritually it is so important. And one of the things that was very interesting this year was about the dragon's prophecy. And this book is The Dragon's Prophecy, Israel, the Dark Resurrection, and the End of Days, was very significant. Like, as I said earlier, it became the number one best-selling book on the New York Times bestsellers list the week that it came out, which is a huge testimony. I had the opportunity to interview Rabbi about this, and here's a little clip from that interview.
It was not an accident. It is spiritual, and it is part of an ancient war. We just saw a little part of that war, the last chapter of that war. But we are involved in a gigantic one, and this goes to the book of Revelation. This is what I saw when I saw the dragon, you know, when I saw an image of the dragon. By the way, John, when I started writing The Dragon's Prophecy, it turned out it was 2024 became the year of the dragon. It turns out there is a comet that comes, sweeps by Earth every like 70 something years. It was appointed for 2024. It's called the Devil's Comet or the Mother of Dragons Comet. I mean, so many things about the dragon. And the dragon is mentioned in Revelation 12 and onward. And it's the dragon is at war with a woman. The woman has a crown of 12 stars. That's Israel, the 12 tribes. The woman gives birth to Messiah. That's only Israel. And so Revelation actually gives this. This is 2,000 years ago, and it's giving the war right then. And it has a lot of revelations within it, including, number one, he uses the Greek word for persecuted. So it's not an accident that the Jewish people are more associated with that word than any other people. It's right there in Revelation. It says that the dragon has an orginzo, that's the Greek word for a rage, an antipathy, a hostility, a burning hatred for Israel. And this rage you see to this day in Hamas. You see it, you saw it with Hitler. You know, it's never ending. You know, you see it, you saw it on American campuses. I mean, it's all part of that. Now, the thing about Revelation and Revelation 12 is that it focuses on the beginning of the age and the end of the age, when the woman gives birth to Messiah, first century, to now, which is the end time. So it happens when Israel is back in the world. That's when it kicks in. That's when the focus, that Israel will become the focal point of this rage, and it'll intensify. Well, that's what we're watching in the world. This opens up the door of all sorts of mysteries that we are watching right now. The last part of the book is going into what do we do, and how do you, because there's the war is again, not just against Israel. It says he made the dragon ward against the rest of her children who follow the ways of Messiah. So it's a war against every believer, and it's a war against everyone who bears the image of God. The dragon has a war. Since you were conceived, the dragon has been warring against you. He's been all sorts of ways to keep you from God, to abuse you, to addict you, to defile you, to depress you, suppress you. That's it. And so how do we recognize, because the same battle against Israel, the same battle against we're all dealing with. The Bible gives a promise about how to overcome. In fact, to that same prophecy of the dragon in Revelation 12 is the one that it says, but they overcame him by the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb, by the power. So we are guaranteed victory, but we have to fight. And the thing is that, and so the last parts of the book deal with that. And the thing is that there's actually a mystery. We won't be able to go into it, but there's a chapter called The Mystery of the Secret Israelis. And I'll just say this, and it gives the key about how to overcome it, everything in the end days, because it's going to be more intense. But everything you're dealing with in your life. And the thing is, it's linked to that. I'll just say this. The secret Israeli is actually you, everyone listening who was born again. You're a secret Israeli, according to the Hebrew of the Bible. And there's an incredible revelation about how to overcome. But God has called us to overcome. And just keep in mind, when you're looking at this whole picture, and you're looking at what's happening in Israel, yes, Israel, the history of Israel bears witness to the enemy, but it also more bears witness to God. Because after all this, you know, we're getting a little taste of it. It's been going on for 4,000 years. You know, the Pharaohs tried to destroy Israel, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, the Hitler, Russia. But you know what? The Pharaohs are gone. The Rome has fallen. Babylon is gone. Hitler's gone. All the terrorists are going to be gone. They're all gone. But the nation of Israel lives because the God of Israel lives and because Messiah of Israel lives. And if you are following him, you're going to live, and you will have victory. If you fight the fight, you're guaranteed victory, your God lives. And that's beyond all the things. And in Revelation, it says there is victory in the Lamb. In the end, you got a dragon, you got a lamb, but amazingly, the Lamb wins. And so if you're with a Lamb, you're going to win, but you got to fight and you will be guaranteed that victory. Slay your dragon. You have the power by the blood of the Lamb.
Wow. So, you know, Malachi, the things that were really interesting about this is that there was no way that Rabbi could have known some of the other things that were happening, that this was literally the year of the dragon on the Chinese calendar. But there was this big HBO House of the Dragon special promotions that were happening right around the same time, where in New York City, they had a giant inflatable dragon descend upon the Empire State Building. And they actually had all these signs that were saying, you must choose, you must choose. And so there was a lot of this choice about the dragons going on, and it was in pop culture, but Rabbi was speaking prophetically about this. What is your take on this, the dragon's prophecy, and really about how prophecy affects culture?
Well, I mean, let me just say kind of humorously, either this is the greatest book set up a year in advance the world has ever seen, okay, or it really, again, is just showing you the Lord interweaving. The Lord knows way in advance what's about to happen, and sometimes he just gives a little bit in part for us to see the fuller picture later. I think it's showing us that the dragon's prophecy about, yes, the attack of Satan on the church, on his people, on the nations. And it's just letting us know in the spirit what's really going on, like what's really unfolding, not at a much larger scale. Like, I think at some things in life, we get a 10,000 foot view and maybe a 30,000 foot view. But what if we're getting really heaven's perspective, maybe God's time clock beginning to unfold? And so again, the miracle of this is the timing of this. This is no accident. This is not just mere coincidence. This is kind of divine guidance for the hour so that we are awake to what's really happening.
Yeah. And what's interesting is, obviously, if you don't know, Charisma Publishing actually is Jonathan Kahn's publisher. And so we kind of have an inside scoop on what's coming out. And just the conversation that was happening here was Jonathan had a different book in mind. And he still is planning on doing that book. But the Lord interrupted his plans and said, you need to do about this dragon. You need to write about the dragon's prophecy. And so there was this urgency with that. And I love that throughout the year on his YouTube channel, which everybody needs to subscribe to that, he has these prophetic messages or prophetic interpretations of what's happening in our world today. And I want to point out a couple things that really stuck out to me this year. And this video clip that you're about to see, Rabbi is talking about something that happened in Turkey when they basically blasphemed God and blasphemed Israel. And so just watch this and we're going to comment.
A member of the Turkish parliament gets up to give a speech. The speech condemns Israel, of course, and for Israel's actions in defending itself against the terror of Hamas. He goes on and on and on condemning Israel. But at the end of his speech, he does something not usually seen in a speech in a parliament. He calls down a curse upon Israel from heaven. He actually calls down a curse. Now watch, I want you to see it for yourself. The translation is going to be at the bottom.
Halbuki bizden kurtulsanız, vicdan azabından kurtulamayacaksınız. Vicdan azabından kurtulsanız, tarihin azabından kurtulamayacaksınız. Tarihin azabından kurtulsanız, Allah'ın gazabından kurtulamayacaksınız. Hepinizi saygıyla selamlıyorum.
Okay, he just cursed Israel. And not only cursed Israel, but actually called down a curse from heaven upon Israel. Now Genesis 12 warns, don't do that. Because if you do that, what you call down on Israel or the Jewish people, it's going to come back down on you. Now watch what happens.
Allah'ın gazabından kurtulamayacaksınız. Hepinizi saygıyla selamlıyorum.
The man was struck down dead. He called down a curse from heaven on Israel, and he was struck dead. The Abrahamic covenant before your eyes in real time. Is God real or what? Genesis 12 recorded on videotape at the Turkish parliament. Do you think the Turkish government might have second thoughts about cursing Israel in the future? Well, they're going to be part of Ezekiel 38 and 39, but maybe some will take note. But here's the thing. America has been Israel's strongest ally in the modern world and the most blessed nation. But there's a very present danger. The polls are showing that the younger generation of Americans is not only the generation that's least connected to God and biblical values.
That's fascinating. I mean, that breaks your heart. Mm-hmm. For sure. But you see the power of God when somebody blasphemes God and calls down a curse on Israel, it backfires.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the dragon's prophecy speaks about. That's what last year's prophetic words were all about, Hamas and violence. And there's definitely God speaking to this evil in this world. What's your take on that whenever you see things like that?
When I see that, it tells me, one, God's word is true. Number two, God's warnings are very true. And maybe God's saying, hey, it's kind of like, maybe we should take seriously the things he tells us. Like, now I'm thinking about Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts going, you know what, maybe we should be in this hour a little more careful with our words. But as terrifying as that is, if that happens to someone that curses Israel, it makes me think, man, what could God do? What would God do with people that bless Israel? Like, what if 2025 was the year that while others are blaspheming Israel, John, what if we in the church are actually blessing the nation of Israel and the people of Israel? That's what I think. That more than that terrifying me, that encourages me that should be the posture that we take.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to have that posture where we bless instead of curse. And honestly, I see a lot of anti-Semitism rising up even in the conservative culture, which you would think would be very, you know, looking at the people of the Bible and saying they're God's blessed people.
There are some conservative commentators right now that's very concerning to me. Well-known young conservative commentators and some definite lies, and I don't want to go in the weeds of this, but the whole Rothschild demonic blasphemy, that's what it is. I mean, this is not the hour to play around with God's people and the nation of Israel. Like, I've heard somebody relate Zionism to Nazism just recently. I'm going, that's very dangerous in this hour.
Yeah. Those are things that we need to be wary of and call it out. Call evil, evil, whenever it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got another clip that I want to share that from that same video that Rabbi was talking about what happened in Turkey. Something very interesting happened in South America regarding the Pope. So let's take a look at this.
Does every lightning strike mean judgment? No, but this one is too much. It strikes the sign of the office in the land, in the nation, in the province of the Pope. And it turns out there are major lightning rods around the statue to prevent this, so this shouldn't have happened, but it happened anyway. But it's not only where the statue was and where the bolt of lightning came, it was when it all came, when the lightning struck the statue. It was on December 17th, 2023. Anything significant about that date? Well, yeah, December 17th happens to be the birthday of the Pope. So you have the office, the land, the nation, the province, the time, the birthday, all pointing to the present Pope.
So Malachi, I mean, we're talking about the correlation with the prophetic things with the Pope. So we've looked at the Hebrew, the Jewish world, the Islamic world, and now the Catholic or the Christian world. And the Pope, if you look at the rest of what Rabbi was saying, this was right after the Pope has basically said, same-sex unions and marriages are now blessed, even though it definitely goes against what the Bible has said and what even the Catholic Church has said throughout the decades, throughout the centuries even. And so you see that this statue of St. Peter that was holding the keys had a halo on it and these keys in its hand, and literally lightning hits this statue, the halo's gone, and the keys disintegrate. And it is basically kind of destroyed. And there's no way that the lightning should have hit there because there's all these other things around to protect it. But it was hit and it was destroyed. And Rabbi was looking at this as a prophetic sign. When you see stuff like this happen in our world today, and then you have somebody like Rabbi say, there is a prophetic meaning behind this, how do you take that in response?
Wake up, people. Definitely wake up 100%. Wake up to what is happening in this hour. wake up to that God's trying to get people's attention 100%. God is 100,000% trying to get people's attention. Like, even, you know, when same-sex marriage was approved in America, we had a situation right near our church, John, when on the day that that happened, lightning literally hit one of the trees by our church, and one of the branches fell off and crushed both the American flag and the Christian flag on that day. I'm telling you, God's trying to get people's attention. We'll use very dramatic, visible things like this to make us question and make us realize what's going on. So it's time to wake up.
Yeah. And we as a people, I think, write off way too much. God's getting our attention, and we just say, oh, that's just coincidence. Well, there's no coincidence in the Hebrew dictionary. There is all prophetic utterances.
It's providence.
Providence. Yeah. So, you know, this, we didn't even get a chance to talk about Jonathan Cahn's interpretation of the Olympic opening ceremony in France. I mean, that was very blasphemous in so many different ways. But even with the end time rider in the on the pale horse running down the river and carrying this torch, there was a lot of end time symbology that was there. Malachi, as you look at the end times things, and specifically in relation to what Jonathan Cahn has said, and how we look at our future, where do you find hope?
My hope in all of that is if we're getting to see this, it ought to strengthen our faith that the Lord is moving, and we as believers have no reason to fear, no reason to be. And this actually should embolden our faith to be in 2025. To be strong in the gospel, strong in the spirit. Understand that the Lord put us on this planet for such a time as this to rise up with the gospel, with signs and wonders, and believing that all of this is a precursor. John, one of my dearest friends always said that in the hour of greatest darkness will come the hour of the greatest revival in history. And I believe we are on the precipice of that revival. I'm seeing it on college campuses in America, seeing it in various movements. So those things that seem so dark, just say, hey, that means God is up to something way more powerful than that. So I'm actually encouraged by what the Lord's letting us see.
Yeah. And that is very powerful. And if you want to continue to see more of this, I recommend that you subscribe to this channel, like and comment, and let us know what your thoughts are of this as well. And we just appreciate Rabbi Jonathan Cahn so much. And as we reflect on these prophetic insights from Rabbi, may we approach the coming year with heightened awareness and a renewed commitment to God's spiritual principles. Stay tuned for more revelations and guidance as we navigate the times ahead. I'm John Matarazzo, and this is Malachi O'Brien for Charisma Media. God bless you.